Welcome today to our interview series with the world's top outstanding professionals and innovators. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Ruth Hedges, co-founder and CEO, Crowdfunding College, CEO, Crowdfunding Roadmap, creator and key architect of the Funding Roadmap, Crowdfunding Roadmap Global Crowdfunding Day, and she's also a top innovation executive and entrepreneur, just a remarkable background. So, Ruth, thank you for coming in today and just sharing so many of your experiences with our audience.
Thank you so much, Stephen. My pleasure.
Now, Ruth, you are a thought leader and a global entrepreneur and just all the things that you're doing. Can you profile some of your prior top roles and then useful lessons from those roles?
Sure. I actually, in my prior life, earlier life, was a executive chef, and I ran a catering business in Beverly Hills, California. I had 12 employees, and I learned a lot about entrepreneurship. I started off very young at 19 years old to run this, what I thought was going to be a small little catering business, and turned out to be quite a successful one for over 18 years. And it was that experience that actually led me to where I am today, because it was during the dot-com days in the late 1990s, I lost my kitchen, so I wasn't able to cater anymore. And I was looking to reinvent myself, and I found that there was this new industry being developed around the internet. And all of these dot-com companies that were being formed needed to actually set up a business structure around their internet business. And a lot of them didn't know anything about business development. So I decided to open up an incubator. And I was actually down the street from Bill Gross, the founder of Idealab. And that's where basically I started to develop these ideas. We would bring in the dot-com companies, and we would write their business plans for them, and we would get them an office and get them insurance and help them raise capital. And during those years, it was very explosive, lots of obviously activity during the heyday of the dot-com era. And then it imploded. And after the dot-com was over, I realized that I didn't want to be a service provider anymore. So because I had now sort of been put out of business twice, once by in the catering and now as a service provider, as a business consultant. So I thought, I'm going to invent something, and I didn't know what it was going to be. But I went to one of those inspirational events at a hotel that they put on here in the United States by lots of different sort of inspirational speakers. And I thought, I'm just going to sit here and absorb some of these ideas. And when I came out of this event, I actually had this idea to reinvent this business plan that I absolutely hated writing into more of a product like TurboTax, which at the time, we're talking about the late 1990s, was very innovative. And so I wanted to create a standardized form that everyone could fill out, and it looked the same each and every time. And that way, as investors reviewed it, they could review it much faster and get to the issues of concern they cared about most. And so that's essentially how all of this started. And that's where the product fundingroadmap.com came from, which is what has led me now down this path.
You know, that's a remarkable history, I should say, and just a very interesting kind of background that you have. Do you have any additional past experiences that you want to share that led to your work with funding and crowdfunding?
So I was in development building this product, and it went through lots of transformations because of the technology. Originally, it was built in Microsoft Excel because it wasn't the PHP and MySQL and the programming languages weren't even in around to be able to use them in the early days. We eventually put it on the cloud. And in 2008, 2009, there was a great recession. And a lot of my customers were unable to go to a bank, which is what it was originally intended for, or talk to an angel or a VC and present it to them to be able to raise capital. So I started to look at the other options out there and realized that if you were not an accredited investor, you really could not share your money with these startups. So I went to see some people. There's in the United States, there is a 80-year-old securities law, 1933, that we would have to get removed from the books to be able to allow people, anybody with any amount of wealth, to be able to invest in startups. And so I did some research and found this guy who had written a blog post, very similar thinking to what I had been thinking. And I contacted him, and I said, I think you're my brother from another mother. And we started laughing, and I told him some of the efforts that I had been making here locally. And we decided that we were going to need an act of Congress to actually get this removed, which, you know, a lot of people joke about when they're making statements, but they never follow through on it because it's impossible to get the United States Congress to act on anything, especially these days. But we said, no, you know what, we're going to give it a shot. And we started to gather other people together, and on we went to write this framework for what would eventually be passed into law in the Jobs Act of April 5th, 2012, called Title III, the crowdfunding bill. And, you know, I'm very proud of those efforts. And, you know, it's going to change the way entrepreneurs raise capital and launch businesses and inspire their fans and followers and friends on the Internet to do business with them. So that's really how it all started.
And can you sort of describe the kind of support? I guess it's across both aisles, right? So
yeah, so we had a vote. We had 417 congressmen say yes, and 17 said no. We had two-thirds of the Senate, and there were 100 senators, so about 25 of them said no. And then the bill got passed. It was actually pretty quickly, considering, you know, this whole thing from the moment we had this idea till it was passed was a little bit more than a year. We brought it, we walked the floors of Congress and we got people to listen to us about this idea, which was also pretty amazing. And, you know, there was a great interest at the time in job creation, and startups in this country create 60% of all the new jobs. So if you don't fund startups, you don't get new jobs. And they understand that, you know, banks had been paralyzed. I mean, they literally shut down. Not only did they not, were not giving people lines of credit, but they were taking the lines of credit they already had, even people in good standing who were using their credit, for example, maybe to make their payroll because, you know, they needed that little bridge loan. They were taking those people's money away, and those people were going out of business because of it. So we needed to give them some other option to be able to go out and raise capital. And what better place than their customers, for example, their crowd of customers, to have the option to compel them to want to continue to support that operation. And that's essentially what crowdfunding does, is it you know, opens up your ability to raise capital from anybody.
You know, it's fascinating because you were really at the start of it all in the U.S., so definitely a pioneer. Now, can you then overview your platform, the Global Crowdfunding Day initiative that you're involved with, the Crowdfunding College, the Crowdfunding Roadmap, and Funding Roadmap, and why people should get involved?
Sure. So once I had created the funding roadmap, we wrote a framework for the Jobs Act, for the crowdfunding bill, and the version of that was not what we ended up with. What we ended up with was a much more complicated process. Our framework was called the Startup Exemption, and it was to exempt startups from a lot of the paperwork that normally is required for a securities offering. Instead, they just created a different subset of rules and processes and procedures, which will still require startups to go through these things, and this is not going to be simple for them. So I looked at what I had built in the funding roadmap and realized that if I made some changes, it would be compliant with the Jobs Act and a planning tool and a reporting system for this new type of securities offering. So we went back into design and programming and created the crowdfunding roadmap, which is a crowdfund compliant product to help entrepreneurs prepare the documentation and the reporting of not only their business plan, the due diligence information, but also how do you actually prepare a crowdfund campaign? What is in a crowdfund campaign? You have a video, you have a description of the offering, you have photos, and then what do you do to market that? How do you market that? It's a very short window of time that one crowdfunds. It's almost like the mindset of the real estate industry. If your house is on the market too long, people wonder what's wrong with it. And if a crowdfunding campaign runs longer than 30, maybe 60 days at the most, and it's not fully funded or close to being funded, people are going to wonder, why didn't this resonate with the crowd? And, you know, I'm going to stay away from this one. I'm going to go and put my money into something that's really on fire. And so so all of those things we built into Crowdfunding Roadmap. It's a placeholder, and it's got basically curriculum built into it all along the way. So it's educating you as you are being instructed to compile all this information. And I'm very proud of this product. I'm very excited to put it out in the marketplace. I think it's not only going to change the way people raise capital through crowdfunding, but it's also going to allow them to continue to raise capital long after they crowdfund through any mechanism. So they can take it to a bank. They can then talk to an angel or a VC. They can use it for a merger, for an acquisition. It is incredibly comprehensive information. And it's on the cloud. So you can share it from anywhere in the world. You don't have to be, downloading, uploading. You give somebody who you want to look at it a secure login and password, and they log in and review it. And there's even a video elevator pitching platform. So you can put a prototype of your product, an interview with your management team. If you have a piece of real estate that you want to show the investors, here's where I'm going to build this building. You can videotape that. And those are very powerful things because, as we know, the saying, a picture speaks a thousand words. And being able to showcase these things in a virtual business planning tool is really transformational. The other thing that we did is we integrated social media. So you're showing this to your investors, and they want to see, how has this resonated with the public? Well, now you can click on a link inside of the crowdfunding roadmap that takes you to Twitter and Facebook and shows off all of your fans and followers and friends that are supporting you, at that point in time. And then, of course, there are financial statements that are GAAP compliant. They're also compliant with the new international GAAP, which are general accounting practices. And we built it in a way where all the calculations are built in, so you don't even need a calculator to do the math. And this is very important because if you look at a static business plan template, the idea that you would potentially transpose the numbers correctly on one form to the next and that the public should trust the math is correct is a problem because 50% of the time it's not. And obviously the public is not going to sit there with a calculator and start to do the math on every single, cash flow income balance sheet that they're reviewing for, and other financial statements that they would be reviewing for a potential investment in this company. So those are the kind of things that are at an advantage to using this type of technology. When the industry started, so when we passed this bill in April of 2012, and I started to look at the crowdfunding, the level of awareness around the world in crowdfunding and how it had, how it was continuing to grow. There were 1,600 URLs with the word crowdfunding at that point in time, and today there's over 10,000 of them. So it is growing exponentially, and there are now hundreds, more than 700 actually, crowdfunding websites around the world. And so I wanted to create a way that we could all share in this experience And I came up with this idea for globalcrowdfundingday.com. And it's basically a very simple idea. For 24 hours, we are compelling the public, 7 billion people on the planet, to go to a crowdfunding website and make a contribution to somebody's campaign. And it could be as small as a dollar or two. It doesn't really matter the amount. It's the idea that we're all sharing in this, in what I refer to as the best of our humanity. Because the way crowdfunding works today, there is really nothing in it for you so much as you just sharing your money with an idea that someone has put out there that resonates with you, that you feel passionate about supporting. And then once you make that contribution, you use the hashtag, which is a pound sign and the word Global CF Day, and go on Twitter and just tweet that you've contributed to this particular campaign. Or you can also set up your own campaign that day and compel the public to make a contribution to your campaign. And that's Global Crowdfunding Day. So we're working, you know, we're obviously working on expanding that day and having different things go on around the country. There are some things going on in England on that day, and we have some other things that we'll be discussing soon about it here in the United States. But it's a very easy, simple way for everyone to contribute to the social good of their city and town and community around the world. And it's April 5th, every April 5th for 24 hours is Global Crowdfunding Day. You asked me about crowdfunding college. So again, once we saw how complicated the rules were for Title II and Title III of the Jobs Act, my business partner, Scott Purcell, and I decided to put together some curriculum and create a certified crowdfunding professional program here in Las Vegas where people can actually learn the entire rules and regulations and process to be able to sell securities and be compliant with the Jobs Act. And so that's what we're doing with it's crowdu.com is the website. It's the crowdfunding college. The website is crowdu.com. So we haven't launched it yet. It's going to be launched at the end of this month. And we're very, as the hopefully day approaches in the United States where we will be able to use Title III, let me explain to the public a little bit about the difference. There is limitations on the amount of money that you can raise when you are dealing in with the general public in the United States. So there's 300 million Americans, and they can invest small amounts of money for stock using the Title III offering. There's a cap of $1 million, and most Americans that earn less than $100,000 a year can only invest either between 2,000 and 5% of their income. And then the Title II is for accredited investors. Those are people that have a net worth of more than $1 million, and there's about 8.7 million accredited investors in the United States. And the Title II and III are offerings that are only open to U.S. citizens in the United States. And so we needed to create this program to be able to make sure that if you went to talk to a business coach, a CPA, a lawyer, at government agencies, business development associations, anybody in the United States that would be working with you as an entrepreneur to help you prepare all this documentation, we wanted to give you some assurance that you would be working with somebody who absolutely understood the rules and regulations around this. So that's why we created the Certified Crowdfunding Professional Program as part of CrowdU, the crowdfunding college.
So you talked about the different sort of initiatives that you've pioneered. What's kind of the revenue model for each one of them?
In my company, so Crowdfunding Roadmap is a subscription, and it's $99 a year. We built this thing called a hatchery, which is actually a place where you can advertise your offering that once you've completed all this paperwork on, well, it's not really on the paper, but it's virtual paperwork. You can then list inside of the hatchery, you're offering to funding portal owners and broker dealers who are the only people legally allowed to help you execute that offering. And they're going to be looking for deal flow. They're going to be looking to find customers to help facilitate the sale of those securities. The problem is they can't just go out on Facebook or Google and advertise, because they will get bombarded with entrepreneurs, none of whom will be ready to actually crowdfund. The requirements are things like you need a current business plan, you need audited or certified financial statements, you need a valuation, you need to have a list of all the officers and directors that own more than 20% of the company. You need to prepare different forms that you have to register with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. So these things take a lot of time. You also have to have enough fans, followers, friends who you can compel to invest in you. And a funding portal broker-dealer isn't going to sit around and wait for you to prepare all this when you come to their website, because they're not going to be making any money unless you complete the transaction. So you have to successfully raise money through crowdfunding. If you come to them and you're not prepared with all of this, you're wasting everyone's time. So what we're trying to do on crowdfundingroadmap.com is we're trying to create a pipeline of crowdfund compliant ready entrepreneurs with deal flow that could be easily onboarded onto the funding portal or with the broker dealer and immediately start the campaign. And that's going to help move this industry along a lot faster and make it easier for everybody throughout the entire system. Global Crowdfunding Day is a free, you know, it has nothing to do with any revenue. It's an initiative to compel and share an idea universally among the world, something we can share in globally that eventually obviously will be helping all of the people who are doing crowdfunding, however that those donations are made. And then, you know, the actual the crowdfunding college is $699, and there is a very rigorous exam that you have to take. Pass 125 questions to be able to get certified.
Now, let's say I'm somebody in the UK, and of course the UK has their own platforms, but I'm really excited about what Ruth has created here, and I want to try to launch something in the US. Can somebody from the UK or Germany use Crowdfunding Roadmap?
Yes. So if you are in another country and you want to introduce your idea to a US investors, you can absolutely use the Crowdfunding Roadmap. Now, what you can't do is you can't launch a Title III crowdfunding campaign unless you are a U.S. citizen. So you can raise capital the old-fashioned way using this platform and talk to accredited investors in the United States. But you can't talk to 300 million Americans on a funding portal using Title III unless you are a U.S. company and you get money from U.S. citizens.
So that's really valuable information. Thank you for adding that additional piece of data, and I, you know, that'll be quite useful. Now, you already talked about the Jobs Act. Is there anything more that you want to add to the Jobs Act?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of confusion out there about, you know, how this really works, and what people don't understand really at the end of the day is that you will eventually have a large group of investors that you have to then network and communicate with and continuously share updates about the progress of your company. You will, legally in the United States, you will be required to provide updates. But from a sense of, I don't want to say obligation, but just collaboration, for example, you will want to share the progress of your company with your investors, and the Crowdfunding Roadmap is an amazing tool to help you do that, because you can continuously update it and keep it current, and you can drive people to a certain section that you have completed, say your marketing strategy or sales strategy, maybe your customer acquisition plan. These are the kind of things that people are going to want to see as you continue to grow the company, that you have a plan for all of these things. The other thing is that when you're competing during the crowdfunding process, you're on a website where there could be thousands of other offerings. This is a completely different experience than what happens today. If you send your business plan to an investor, they are only looking at you in that moment in time. But when you send those, your fans and followers and friends to look at a particular, you know, xyz.com website, and there is your offering, there are hundreds or thousands of other offerings, you know, basically flashing at them saying, hey, no, look at me. No, look at me. No, look at me. They all want your, you know, your fans and followers' attention when they land on that website. And you have to have your A game on. You have to absolutely nail your presentation. And you have to be able to go into a chat room and answer their questions about your business and the shares of stock that you're selling. And so this requires really a higher level of understanding. And I think that, you know, the cream will rise, and those that are really, you know, great entrepreneurs and have their act together will be very successful using this. And the people who think, you know, that they can just sort of slap some things together and put it up on a website are going to find very quickly that this is not going to work. So, you know, there's lots and lots of reasons why you need to have this type of disclosure and preparation, because you're going to be on, you know, a public stage. You will be looked at by an unknown number of potential investors who will all have lots of questions and want to see that you are an educated entrepreneur, that you understand how to run this business, how to maybe manufacture the products and services you're offering, and that you will still be in business 5-10 years from now, and that you have a plan to for long-term success. And those are the kind of things that the crowdfunding roadmap can help you prepare to do.
You know, with the different properties that you have, like Global Crowdfunding Day, Crowdfunding College,
mm-hmm.
Crowdfunding Roadmap, the Funding Roadmap, and more areas that you're getting into, are you self-financing this, or did you sort of get other investors on board?
Some of it, yes, and some of it, no. Some of it, I have some investors, and some of it, I self-financed.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, the crowdfunding college that you have, and you're just about to make this more sort of widely available. And you have this first course on equity-based crowdfunding. Is there anything more you want to add about that course?
Yeah, it's actually really, we're very excited about this. It's a day-long class. And we're going to really hit the information fast and quickly, because there's a lot to go through. But, you know, people will be trained in the history of Wall Street, the fundamentals of securities and regulation, the changes and challenges that the Jobs Act brings, how businesses can raise money via this new private placement exemption of there's debt and equity, the responsibilities of the brokers and the funding portals, how investors should analyze opportunities, and the ongoing regulatory compliance. You know, we've read thousands of pages of rules, regulations, interpretations, safe harbors, and industry positions. And we are really experts in this. And we are excited to be able to help create a group of certified crowdfunding professionals that will obviously help to make this industry stronger. And it will ensure that the public of entrepreneurs is guided correctly.
Now, let's say I want to sign up for this course. Is it going to be available online, or sort of what are the mechanics or logistics of it?
Yeah, so we're going to be, we have a classroom here in Las Vegas, and we're going to be teaching from that classroom, but we're also going to be recording the class, and people will be able to watch it online at their leisure. So if they want to do an hour here, an hour there, they can do it that way. And then they will have the option of logging in to the exam anywhere in the world and taking the test as well at their own pace. If they don't, it'll be a timed test. If they don't pass the test, they will have the opportunity to take it again, and different questions will come up each time they take the test.
And do you see sort of wider sort of support for the certification?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have, in this country, millions of financial advisors, CPAs, lawyers, business coaches. You have government agencies like Small Business Development Center, SBDC. You have SCORE, which is another agency here in the United States. There's tens of thousands of business development offices and of employees that work in every city and town in the United States, where the public is compelled to go and work with these people for advice on how to build a business and get financing. None of these people, virtually none of these people, know anything about what I've just described. It hasn't, even though we had to go to Congress to get this bill passed, they did not mandate in their cities and towns any kind of requirements from their government employees to be educated at this level in Title II and Title III of the Jobs Act. So this is going to be in very high demand once we launch it by all of these different organizations. And it's really the only way that we can have a successful crowdfunding industry is if we have professionals that are educated and certified.
Now, Ruth, you've done a lot of work here, and you're pioneering in this area. Now, let's go out 5 years from now. Where do you see yourself?
I put on the largest crowdfunding convention in the world, which we haven't talked about that yet. It's October 23rd through the 25th in Las Vegas. And this is my third year doing the conference. I hope to be filled, that conference in 5 years, to be filled with a room full of successful entrepreneurs that have used these new securities offerings, successfully raised the money, and they are there with their investors, and we're all, celebrating the success of this. This is a really, transformational democratization of capital and never been done before anywhere in the world. And it's I think going to change the way we create jobs and we launch businesses. So that's really what I would love to see, as well as obviously my business is being very successful. And you can see on the crowdfunding roadmap.com website, it says, join me in building a pipeline of 1 million companies. And that's really my goal, is to put 1 million companies on the platform. Last year, the conference that we did, we had people from 12 countries. In fact, two people came from Singapore, and we had people from Lima, Peru. We had people from Australia, New Zealand, Italy. It was very exciting. And we hope to see more people come, and including people from China, because this is a place to meet the industry leaders and learn at the highest level and make the right connections to be able to bring this knowledge back to the countries that, other countries who have not been introduced to this yet.
So what's the best way to get connected with this conference you're holding?
You could go to crowdfundingroadmap.com/bootcamp, and you can register. We're on Eventbrite as well. We're just starting to put the conference together, but we, in terms of speakers and agendas, it's still, obviously very early, but we already have some very exciting people lined up, and which we'll be making public soon. I launched the first crowdfunding bootcamp in 2012. 4 months after the signing of the Jobs Act, and it turned out that it was the largest convention anywhere. There hadn't been one yet at this point. And now we've established ourselves as a preeminent convention anywhere in the world. And we are looking to make this the largest global convention where people from all over the world can come to, this event and really learn and all of the from these experts. And we had over 65 people speaking last year. We had people from Australia, actually Paul Niederer, who runs the Australian Small Scale Offering Board. He's been doing this kind of crowdfunding for 7 years in Australia, and he is one of the most preeminent experts in the world. And he's coming again this year to share, how they do this in Australia, and it's really fascinating. I mean, they've had virtually no incidences of fraud. And it's been very successful there, and we're excited, every time we hear him speak, to learn more about how they've been doing it in Australia. We had somebody from Italy come and talk about the Italian crowdfunding, which is interesting because you don't have to actually be an Italian citizen to crowdfund in Italy, unlike the United States, which is only open to U.S. citizens. In Italy, you could be in anywhere in Europe and crowdfund an Italian company and invest your money in Italy. So there's all those kind of things going on, which are, you know, very exciting.
So do you have any additional views for crowdfunding? I know you've talked quite a bit about it, but any additional insights or lessons you want to share?
I think, what people don't understand, this has a lot to do with what we call social capital. Social capital is your wealth, essentially, on the Internet. How many fans, followers, and friends do you have in Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and other, you know, Instagram and Pinterest and all these places where people are socializing? These become the way that you raise money. And if you need to have a large audience to be able to get in front of these people. We didn't discuss the different kinds of crowdfunding. And maybe I should just explain what crowdfunding is. Crowdfunding is the collective effort of a group of people to either donate or invest in an idea, a cause, or a business. And up until we signed the Jobs Act was signed, it was illegal to self-exchange stock securities for any of that money. As soon as the SEC completes the rules in this country, you will be able to exchange stock for those funds. But today, you can do what they call reward-based crowdfunding. And that is really where you can make a contribution, a donation to somebody's, maybe their artistic endeavors, maybe they're a musician and they're looking to put together a prototype, you know, of their music or product. And they need some seed capital. So you can go on a website, you know, which, like I said, there's over 700 of them in the world, crowdfunding websites, and you can find something that resonates with you that you want to support. And you can make, you know, a small contribution, as little as a few dollars, $20, $50, and they will give you what we call a reward. A lot of times it could be something like a T-shirt or a baseball cap, or it could be maybe a coupon to, if you were opening a restaurant, you could get 50% off on a meal. You could get a free drink. If you were creating music, maybe you get a free download to the music. Obviously, products, you know, there was a company that did a campaign in 2012 to build a prototype for a watch. It was called the Pebble Watch Company, and they were looking to raise $100,000. They went on Kickstarter. And they said, if you give us $100, we'll give you, you'll be one of the first people to get a copy of this watch. And this watch talks to your iPhone, and it helps you. You don't have to take the phone out of your pocket or your pocketbook when it rings. You can actually look at your watch. And this was just mind-blowing to lots of people. And this company did a really good job of public relations long before their crowdfunding campaign started. And by the time it started, they had raised $1 million in the first 24 hours. And by the end, which far exceeded their original goal of $100,000, and by the time they finished the campaign 30 days later, they had raised $10 million, and they had sold, essentially pre-sold, 68,000 watches. So now they were challenged with trying to find the manufacturers and the source material to manufacture 68,000 watches, which is why the crowdfunding roadmap platform is so critical, because we walk you through actually a manufacturing plan where you have a placeholder to put all of the source, you know, the manufacturing timelines, the manufacturers of the different parts of your product, and all of this is figured out ahead of time. The Pebble Watch Company got a lot of very good publicity in the beginning, but when they couldn't produce the watch in a timely manner, they had 68,000 very unhappy people who were desperate for their little toy. And you know how people get when they want something. They stand in line, they sleep on the street in tents to get the, you know, the next Apple product. So this turned out, you know, eventually they solved the problem. But this is why you don't want to go out there unprepared. And so that is essentially how crowdfunding works today. It also is an amazing tool for causes. You know, we've seen it when there's been disasters, In the Boston bombing here in the United States, there were people who had lost their legs. One family, the husband and wife, each lost a leg. And within 24 hours of that terrorist act, the friends of those people put up a crowdfunding campaign, and 5 days later, they had raised $750,000 for those people. That is transformational stuff. When you think about in the old days, they would have to put on a telethon, which could take months and months of planning to get the same results without the internet, and people would be suffering for a very long time needing those funds. So today, we can go on the internet and we can create these campaigns, and we can drive money to people who need it when they need it immediately, and not waiting on insurances. And here that we have FEMA, which is a government agency that's supposed to help people after disasters, but it takes forever because you actually have to apply for a loan. Crowdfunding changes all that. And it's like I said, it's really the best of our humanity that we can share with each other. It's a universal experience.
You know, it's an interesting sort of discussion. You know, you talk about the democratization, I guess, of being able to fund, and you talked about the different kinds of crowdfunding, whether it's equity-based or reward-based, donation-based, and I guess there's even debt financing that you can crowdfund as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just an amazing kind of facility for really everybody to get involved. Now, I know that you spoke at CES because of your leadership position in this marketplace, and I attended this year, and I also attended last year, and I was surprised that just crowdfunding was everywhere. And what are some of your comments about CES and what happened?
Yeah, so I was very honored to speak. I spoke in a place called Eureka Park, which is a section of the Consumer Electronics Show set up. It's a new section for startup companies building new electronic, you know, products. And giving them this gigantic, you know, forum to showcase their ideas and their products that are in development. And so I spoke for about crowdfunding because obviously, you know, I mean, you look at every company, whether it's Samsung or, you know, Apple or Microsoft or any of these technology companies, electronic companies, they all started as a startup and they all needed seed capital. And they were lucky, but think about all the products that never see the light of day because they can't access capital. And think about all of the things that, you know, scientific things. I mean, we might have cured cancer by now, but we don't know the scientist that was out there struggling with some ideas that he could never get the funding for. And now we can change all that. So, you know, I was very excited to be speaking at the Consumer Electronics Show and talk about crowdfunding because so many people are still unaware of this, even though it's starting to become much, much more well known. It hasn't even begun to really explode. When you look at, you know, social media 7 years ago and you look at it today, Facebook has over 1 billion people on it. That's what's going to happen in crowdfunding. We're going to have this, you know, huge explosion of platforms that are going to explode with millions of people using them to raise capital. And, I mean, last year we hit over $5 billion, and the year before was $2.7 billion. Considering there's no public advertising, I mean, you don't see commercials about crowdfunding yet. You don't see billboards yet, buses yet. You don't see full-page ads yet, but you will. And when you do, it's going to be explosive. And then, you know, this is really a first-mover opportunity for people who want to be a part of this industry to get in now. Because it's only going to get bigger.
You know, just in your last answer, you talked about the tremendous growth. And, of course, you are an active pioneer in that growth because of the leadership you have shown in so many different areas. So I guess in this next question, you believe that crowdfunding will may perhaps not only supplement traditional funding approaches, but perhaps be even be totally disruptive and maybe even replacing traditional funding approaches.
Yeah, I mean, that it is a disruptive thing. But, you know, it's really actually disrupting something that wasn't working. It's improving, even in the case of angels and VCs, if you think about this, or banks, you know, they want to invest in ideas and companies that have the greatest chance of long-term success. Well, what better way to prove success than to have 1,000 people, you know, or in the case of Pebble Watch, 68,000 people wanting that product? What company launches with 68,000 new customers? It's almost unheard of. But imagine you being able to now go, if you needed additional capital after you had successfully crowdfunded, walk into a bank and say, look, I just pre-sold 1,000 copies of my whatever through crowdfunding. You now have credit, collateral, credibility, proof of concept. You have all kinds of things that you would not have had you not experienced crowdfunding. So it's just an added value to every other form of financing. It doesn't take away from those people, those other options that are out there.
Well, Ruth, I can definitely feel your passion.
Thank you.
In this area. Now, you're also a successful entrepreneur and, as I mentioned, pioneer and leader. How do you believe your prior skills contribute to your success in these areas?
You know, I am a big believer in self-determination and, you know, living to the potential of your own uniqueness. I have this saying, you know, act as if you already were there. So what would I be doing if I was running I'm in the software business. Well, let's say I was Bill Gates. What is Bill Gates doing today? You know, whatever Bill Gates is doing, I need as the CEO of my software company to act just like I was running a billion-dollar software company and reach out and network and, you know, do the same kinds of things that anybody else would be doing once they've achieved success. I had this experience when I was very young, really young, because I started actually cooking when I was 10. And by the time I was 15, I had this little local kind of catering business, if you want to call it. And I had this opportunity to make 300 boxed lunches for an organization that my mother was the president of. And they trusted me, which I still to this day don't understand. But when I bought the food to put in these boxed lunches, I didn't order enough tuna fish. So there were brownies and apples and little cans of soda or something in these box lunches, and this tuna fish. But some of these boxes were the tuna, you know, I ran out of tuna fish essentially. And, somebody had to go up in front of 300 people and explain what had happened. And of course my mother was there and she was going to save the day and, you know, take this pressure off of me and explain that, you know, the organization had given her daughter this opportunity to do this and, you know, that they were sorry and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, I made this mistake. I need to take responsibility. And up I walked onto the stage in front of 300 women and apologized and explained and said, you know, if you're still hungry, we have, you know, additional fruit and some other things to, you know, supplement what you're missing. You're sorry, blah, blah, blah. But that experience, I think, changed me forever, because one, it taught me about, you know, preparation. Like, you have to absolutely nail it. You get one shot in life. You can't mess up, especially in the catering business, because if you're doing somebody's wedding, something like that, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and there's no room for mistakes. It also, I think, took the fear away of being in front of the public, because after I did that, I mean, everybody was incredibly moved by the fact that I was so honest and apologetic and tried to accommodate the situation. And I think, you know, I've taken that experience with me for the rest of my life, and it's been very powerful for me.
So what is your global strategy? You know, you described the different sort of initiatives that you founded in the U.S., but do you have global ambitions?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I'd love to have my product in countries all over the world. Obviously, China's a gigantic place, and, you know, the potential for this type of, you know, process for entrepreneurship to thrive and is incredible. The same issues and concerns that are prevalent in the United States for transparency, for full disclosure, for preparation, for a business plan are the same everywhere in the world. And to be able to have a product that's multiple choice, that's educational, that's, you know, consistently the same, it's a standardized planning tool and a standardized reporting system, will make it easy in every country around the world to use this product. It's, you know, it's very inexpensive. We priced it, I think, extremely well so that it could be, you know, anybody in any budget could use this product. Obviously, you know, you're starting a business, you have to have some skin in the game. You can't start a business with no funding. $99 a year is nothing in the scheme of the other costs that you're going to have to spend to start a business, like get incorporated and buy some equipment and a computer, you know, all the other things that you need. But the education that you get going through this product, even if you never actually used the product, but you read it like a textbook, it would be worth the money. But when you realize that you can fill it out and share it with anybody, when you're building a business and you are taking on new partners, you have to be able to share your vision, your direction with these people. And this is a perfect tool to be able to do that. And you know, obviously we have to translate it if we take it to other countries. And we have to make sure that it's compliant with the rules and the laws of every country that it goes into. But we absolutely welcome the opportunity to partner with people in other countries who want to bring this technology to their country.
Now, something quite interesting happened. You know, I was at the CES earlier this year, and I was surprised by the analyst indicating that China has now, I just found it interesting that they indicated that China had overtaken North America in terms of sales of technology products and sort of the consumption of those technology products, and that from now on, you know, the world's going to have to look at again at China in terms of what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And then something really interesting happened, and that is in August of 2013, the Chinese government launched a program for financial market openness. Now, we don't know from the West what all of that means, but from a general sense, do you have any comments of what you think this will lead to? That is, if you have more openness in their financial marketplace, where do you think that'll lead and its implications?
Yeah, I mean, look, I am a universal, you know, I believe in universal capitalism. I believe in helping everyone having a chance at their dream of how they want to live their life and be able to pursue their talents and go to work every day doing things that they love, that they're passionate about. I'm a huge proponent of entrepreneurship. Like I said, I've been one my entire life. And I think that being able to access capital from your friends and your family and being able to launch a business and create jobs in your city and town and community is a universal experience that we should all share. It allows, you know, one of the other things is the localization of crowdfunding. If you have, for example, a city where there's not enough daycare facilities, nursing homes, for example, you could crowdfund those things. So all the people who actually need those facilities could actually own a piece of their own nursing home or their own daycare. And you could have it located in a centralized place where it's more potentially easier for people to get to. Historically, those decisions have been made by bankers. You've had to go to a bank and get bank's permission to the funding, basically, and they've determined, you know, what types of businesses exist on main streets around the world. This is a whole different way of creating the infrastructure, the localized communities that we want to live in, and then having an ownership, having equity in those as well. Obviously, you're going to be promoting them, so you're going to have a larger group of people out there promoting whatever they happen to own equity in. And I think that, you know, this is a great way for people in China to have that experience as well. You know, there's creativity and innovation all over the world, and we should support it. We should rejoice in it. We should encourage it wherever it exists, and especially things that can, you know, help the universe. Things that are, you know, a lot of the things at CES, for example, are very powerful tools too that have helped us in medicine, in science, you know, safety gadgets, things that have helped, you know, car things to help you drive better and see things at night. And I mean, you were there. There was, you know, just an unbelievable amount of technology that didn't exist 5-10 years ago, and it's changed us. You know, even the fact that you and I are talking, you know, in different countries on this technology is really amazing. And we sound like we're in the same room together, you know.
Now, you were one of the instruments of change in the Jobs Act and, in fact, helped initiate that whole process. What are some of the other additional investment policy changes you'd like to see in the U.S. and in the world?
Well, I think that there is this fear that I don't believe is a real fear of somehow that the average person in America, you know, and this is not just specific to America, but I can speak about it, you know, from this vantage point, that we're not smart enough to make a decision with our own money, and that we need the government to come in and put caps, limitations on how we should be able to invest in our money. Now, what's ironic about this is that you can go into a casino and you can put as much money as you want on a craps table or in a slot machine, and there's no government regulation whatsoever. You can go and buy lottery tickets. You could take your entire paycheck, walk into a 7-Eleven and buy a whole bunch of lottery tickets, and nobody's stopping you from doing that. But for some reason, the government feels that they need to protect you from doing the same, using the same exact money that you would gamble with, and limiting how much of that money you can use to invest in a startup because of the high rate of failure in startups, and the fact that, you know, in venture capital, only 8 out of 10 deals that VCs invest in, they get a return. But if you know the risks ahead of time, just like you know the risks when you go into a casino, for example, you should be able to exercise those risks and you know, of your own free will, and use your money. Because on the off chance that you are successful, then you could reap huge rewards.
How many companies did you say sort of provide a return for VC in terms of investment?
8 out of 10. They do not. They lose money on 8 out of 10. They only get a return. Now, the return on those two are gigantic, but so it offsets the losses. But still, it's not like they're any smarter than the rest of us. There is this perception that they're all, you know, all these VCs and angels have this higher level of intelligence to laser in on the next great deal. And the truth of the matter is they don't.
And then I hear some of the tier one, you know, VCs, you know, perhaps they'll look at something like 500 proposals before they'll invest in one.
Exactly.
And then let's say out of 1500 proposals, one will, lose money, one will break even, and one will make money. So.
Right.
Because of your position, because of all the leadership you have shown through crowdfunding, but also funding in general, you travel, you speak, you're widely sought after. So do you have anything amusing, surprising, unexpected, or amazing to share?
Oh, boy. Well, I did have a woman who asked me, I said, have you ever heard of crowdfunding? And she said, no, actually, I haven't. But why would anyone want to invest in a crowd? So she didn't quite get that it's, you know, how this works. No, I haven't really had anything amusing happen. But I have had people be absolutely transformed by this idea. I mean, people have sat in an audience and come up to me afterwards and just, you know, their eyes are like wide open. And the idea of this concept that you can go on a website, put up, you know, information about your passion and your vision and your, you know,
the business that you're trying to develop or the product you're trying to get off the ground, and talk to a world of 7 billion, you know, strangers essentially, and convince them to give you their money. It's an incredibly powerful thing, and it's being done. Like I said, I mean, this thing is exploding. Kickstarter, which is one of the largest crowdfunding platforms, is almost at $1 billion. It's just one platform. So, you know, it's really exciting.
And then I guess last week Indiegogo did a fairly large another investment round. I think it was $40 million. So.
They raised $40 million, yeah. And it was the largest amount to this date of a crowdfunding website. But, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, again, you know, this is so new. I mean, really, even though some people here have heard about it, when you look at the rise of this, we haven't even begun to start to get to a point where it's going to, you know, really take off, and it's coming. But, you know, the fact that I'm talking to you about this in terms of China, I can't even imagine what's going to happen when China really gets into crowdfunding, because you have such a big crowd, you know.
Yeah, I believe the World Bank has come out with a report indicating that China by far will be the largest market in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. You also indicated you were at Eureka Park, and I guess Slavin was there. Did you manage to trade notes with him at all?
No, I tried to see him. He was actually speaking. We didn't cross paths. I left a note for him though, but I didn't get a chance to see him.
Now, Ruth, we've talked about a lot of different areas, and we're down to our last question, and this one's pretty open-ended, and I'm kind of reversing the tables here, in that I'm saying, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
I would want to know, how can we create a higher global awareness to crowdfunding? I think that is really the biggest issue that we have, which is the fact that there are no, like I said before, there are no billboards talking about crowdfunding. There are no commercials on television talking about crowdfunding. There is articles about it, but they're in business publications like Forbes or, you know, Fast Company or Business Week. But you don't see these kind of conversations on the front pages of local newspapers, Vanity Fair, you know, General People magazine. I mean, you don't see the conversation about the exciting things that are happening in crowdfunding yet in a more mainstream way. And I want to create a global awareness to this. I want people all over the world to know about crowdfunding. To share in the experience of it, either as a contributor of their funding or as a launcher of a campaign, and get access to the capital they need. You know, the amount of work that you have to put in to become an entrepreneur, it's relentless. It's 24 hours, 7 days a week, and it's the basis of all of the flow of capital doesn't flow without the efforts of entrepreneurs. So, you know, being creative and creating products and services and putting them out in the marketplace and creating jobs, that's how it all works. So if we don't do things in every city and town and country to encourage that and support that, we'll never grow. And no rules and laws in any country will be successful without the people. It's all about human capital. It's all about, like I said, it's about encouraging the best of our humanity, and that's why I really love crowdfunding, and I'm such a big proponent of it, and I encourage people in China to research it and get involved with it. I think it could be a transformational thing for them, and I'm here to provide any knowledge and support that I can give.
Well, Ruth, we know your schedule is demanding, and we are indeed fortunate to have you come in to do this interview. And you are, as I mentioned throughout the interview, you are this global pioneer who is shaking the world through your innovation and your leadership. So thank you for sharing many of your deep experiences with our audience.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very honored to be interviewed by you and your publication, and I look forward to continuing our efforts around the world.
I am Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Ruth Hedges, co-founder and CEO, Crowdfunding College, CEO, Crowdfunding Roadmap, creator and key architect, the Funding Roadmap, Crowdfunding Roadmap, Global Crowdfunding Day, and she is also a top innovation executive and entrepreneur.